The reading is from Luke chapter 5 and verses 27 to 32, and this can be found on page 1033 in the Church Bibles. Luke 5, 27. Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. Well, we've called today's sermon Food for Thought, and I hope that there will be some food for thought for you in what I'm going to say, but it might be different for each person. I've often found that when I've preached, sometimes people have come to me a few weeks later and gone, "You know, when you said that particular thing in a sermon, it really spoke to me." And I thought, I have no recollection of saying that particular thing, but I'm glad it spoke to you. So let's pray as we start that God would speak to us this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that even though it was written thousands of years ago, it's still alive and active, that you still have things that you can teach us and say to us through your word. So I pray that as I speak, it would be your voice that we hear, and that you would encourage us and bless us as you speak to us. Amen. So this term, we're using the theme, meeting around the table. We're thinking about our welcome and what it means to be a church family, to be a fellowship, to be a community that is flexible, that reaches out. Thinking about this is going to take us through May and the rest of May through June and July. And I wanted just to sort of set the scene a little bit to explain why we're doing this and why I think it's important. We know that meeting around a table and eating together is significant in just about every culture. Hospitality is important. Mitzi's come and spoken to us this morning about our hospitality. And if you have a look at that leaflet that's in Pew News, and you see the number of different opportunities we have just to reach out through food, to serve people as we gather together around a table, we know that it's important and that it's a meeting place for people. We had our lovely example of the Share a Meal Week a couple of months ago, which succeeded in getting people to meet and chat to other people they may only have seen across a crowded church, or in fact may never have come across before. And I think we're going to do that again, because the feedback was that people really enjoyed it. How great it is, how different it is to meet around a table with people you don't know and you have fresh new conversations, rather than sometimes when we meet around the table with people we do know, we can go over the same things over and over. I'm not refusing any invitations from people who know me well. I'd just like to make that clear. I still enjoy it. But every religion, culture, and people group seems to have some sort of celebration based around a meal, and we are no different. Week by week, we can meet around the Lord's table as we share communion, which we're going to do later. So in these next couple of months, we're going to look at who Jesus ate with and parables based around feasts, thinking about the Lord's Supper and what it means for us to eat with Jesus. We're going to be looking at how we reach out, how we invite and welcome others, and looking at some of the issues that we face when we share our lives and our worship together, the joys and the challenges. We're going to be thinking about how we give for one another. I don't mean financially, or how we give ourselves in different ways, and also how we forgive one another when we need to. We're going to think about our commitments to each other and our responsibilities for the young, the old, and the weary. So let's come to our passage today. Before this passage in Luke, Jesus has just been healing and claiming that he can forgive sins, as only God has authority to do. And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are seeing him as someone who is saying he's more than just a rabbi, more than just a teacher, like any other Jewish teacher of the time. He's saying that he has this special connection with God. I'm not sure if they've clicked that he's the Messiah. I'm not sure they've got quite that far yet. But they would have expectations of what someone making those claims should be and would be doing. And certainly they had expectations of what the Messiah would do when he came. Primarily, he was going to overthrow the Roman rule. He was going to restore the people of Israel. He was going to rebuild that kingdom which they'd lost. And so they had a very clear idea of who was in, who was going to be in that kingdom, and who was going to be out. And the Romans most certainly were out. In fact, Gentiles generally were out. And one of the ways that they showed that was by the way that they ate together. There were lots of rules and regulations for the Jewish people about eating, what they could eat, what they needed to do before they ate, the ritual washing, who they could eat with. And so they expected the Messiah would come and gather his people and follow the rules and eat with them exclusively. And so this meal, this passage where Jesus is going into a tax collector's house and eating with tax collectors and sinners was completely out of the question for the Pharisees. That's why they were so offended by this. Tax collectors were social outcasts. They were Jewish people who had effectively started to work for the Romans. So not only were they rejecting their own people because they had chosen to be on another side, but very often they were also cheats. They would take more than they needed to pass on and keep it for themselves. It was like a double whammy of betrayal. Being welcomed at a table when you were going to eat together had become a ceremony for them that was richly symbolic of friendship, intimacy, and unity. And so the people that you ate with were the people that you were choosing to be intimate with, that you were going to be loyal to, that you were going to be friends with. It was a way of building these bonds. There was an anthropologist called Mary Douglas who said that in all cultures, meals represent boundary markers. They mark the boundaries between different levels of intimacy and acceptance. I think maybe in our own society we can see that. If you had the Queen coming to tea, you'd get out your best china, you'd probably deep clean your entire house, and you'd make sure that there was no clutter anywhere. If you have your best friend round for supper, you might just have fish and chips in front of the telly. You wouldn't do that with the Queen, I don't think. Do you know, she might enjoy it, but I suspect that you wouldn't. So the way that we eat, even for us, marks those boundaries. It shows the levels of intimacy. For a faithful Jewish person, if they were to follow all the regulations faithfully, it meant that they could never eat with Gentiles because they couldn't come together. And scholars believe that Jews and Gentiles very rarely ate together in those days. The Pharisees were people who wanted to take this even further. They decided that the regulations that applied in the temple should be brought into their own homes. They were fervent in their religious life. They wanted to get it right. They wanted to get it so right that they made life harder and harder for themselves and for other people than it needed to be. Their purity laws, which were really designed for the temple, were taken into their own homes. So the Pharisees were quite hard to please, to put it mildly. So when Jesus goes and eats in the tax collector's home with other tax collectors and sinners, the message that the Pharisees are getting is that he is ignoring all those rules, all those things that they have held close and have tried to develop and to make important. He's going, they don't matter. So they're stuck in this very strange position with this teacher who can heal people, who claims to forgive sins, and yet is willing to come up close and personal with people who are not getting it right all the time. And they're baffled. They're baffled and they're angry. Doing lunch, one person has said, was doing theology. So Jesus doesn't really give them an answer to their question, who can we eat with? How should we eat? How do we apply these rules? He blows it all out of the water and says, you've got this completely wrong. Let's look at it afresh. There are a few things from this passage that I think we can learn. The first one, at the beginning, Jesus went out, saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Can you imagine if Jesus came to your place of work and said, come on, follow me? Would you really be able to get up, leave everything, and follow him? Would you just want to finish off those emails, tie up a few loose ends? If you're anything like us, when you go on holiday, trying to tie up the loose ends so that you can go away feeling everything is done means that you really need a holiday by the time you get there. But Levi just got up, went, and followed Jesus. But the next thing that we see is that he held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And the people he invited were the people that he'd worked for. So when Levi follows Jesus, he doesn't follow him to follow a set of rules, to become something new, to step into a different life. He follows him but takes Jesus into the life that he knows. I find that quite challenging. Who are the people that we invite to meet Jesus? When we think about meeting with Jesus, following Jesus, learning from Jesus, worshipping Jesus, I think maybe we think we come and do that together here, that this is where that bit of our life happens. But for Levi, that wasn't the case. Levi didn't go and follow Jesus and say, come on then, let's go to the temple and do what we have to do there. He said to Jesus, come into my life. Come meet my friends. Come and eat with us. Jesus said that he came for the sick, for those who realized that they needed him. The Pharisees complained to the disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus' response was, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus was more concerned with meeting those on the outside of society than those who thought they had it all buttoned up. And the reaction of the Pharisees said more about them than it did about the people they were objecting to. It was about prejudice, prejudging, making assumptions about people, about their motives, about their worth, about their capacity. For them, it was about giving or taking value from people. I wonder if we as individuals and as a community are reaching out to those who reinforce our own sense of worth and understanding of faith. Or are we, as individuals and a community, offering refuge and resources for those who feel inadequate? So I'm left with lots of questions. I'm sorry, it's a bit of an all-over-the-place talk this morning. I'm left with questions about the judgments we make and the consequences of those judgments. I'm left with questions about whether we shut doors to keep people out sometimes, or whether we take Jesus with us through the doors into difficult situations and places where there are hard questions, where people aren't following the rules. In what areas are we prejudiced as individuals and as a church? Who are the people we grumble about? Who are the people we choose not to eat with? Are they people who have different understandings of life issues? Are they people who maybe have a different moral code? Does that make us shut a door? Are they people who have different beliefs? But Jesus ate with the Pharisees as well as the tax collectors. He didn't shut the door on anybody. We might sort of swing round and go, well, we should ignore the people that we like and we get on with and we agree, and we should focus just on those people who are more challenging and difficult. And yet that's not what Jesus did. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I've come for the sick. But in a couple of chapters later in Luke, we'll see him eating at Simon the Pharisee's house. We're going to look at that in a fortnight's time. Jesus didn't reject them because of their grumbling and criticism either. He cared as much for them as for everyone else. But the thing he was trying to tell them was that unless they were as open to him as those who recognized their own needs, they wouldn't be able to receive the good news. It was like they were shutting the doors. The doors they thought were keeping them safe were actually isolating them from the gospel. They couldn't see that they needed the doctor because they thought that they were already doing everything that was necessary to be in God's good books. There was a fundamental misunderstanding for them about how a relationship with the Father works. So what about us? How do we think our relationship with God works? Do we rely on finding out what to do, how to behave, and what to believe, and then fail to actually come into his presence and sit and eat with him? That's where the Pharisees went wrong. It wasn't that they weren't interested in God. They were, as I say, completely invested in their religious life. The trouble was that their eyes had turned inwards rather than looking up to God and relying on him for guidance and salvation. They were building these walls around themselves, protecting their egos, unwilling to admit publicly or even privately that they needed redemption and salvation. So, who are we here for? Who are we here for? Are we here for ourselves? Do we come to gather together because of what we receive? Or are we here because we're called into this community to serve and to love and to share all the blessings that Jesus has poured down on us? And are we here for Jesus? Levi met a new friend, and he was so excited, he wanted to throw him a feast. He wanted to invite him into his home, into his life, into his friendships and his relationships. I wonder if that might be a challenge for some of us today. Have we lost that excitement? Are we going through the motions, or are we feasting with Jesus? We're going to come to the Lord's table in a moment. It's an opportunity to remind ourselves again that he calls us to feast with him, to share with him, to receive from him, to be strengthened by him, and to take him out as part of us. When we receive bread and wine, we take him into ourselves, and when we walk out the doors, then he comes with us too. Let's pray. Father, there are so many questions that this passage can bring up. Lord, there are questions about our welcome, about our prejudices, about our focus, about our desire to feast with you and to share the good news. And so I pray that as we come and gather around your table now, you would meet with us, that you would meet with us as a community and individually, that you would refill us with your spirit and send us out for your power and your glory. Amen.